Good morning, everyone. Thank you for coming out today on this beautiful Sunday morning. It's really good to see all of you, especially those of you who are visiting and who may be coming back for the first time after a while. We welcome you and thank you very much. If you would like to read with me in the Bible, please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And before I read, let me remind you that we're in a series of sermons on outstanding faith, what it means to be people who have a faith that's not mediocre, but extraordinary, and what it means to be a church that has faith in Christ that is beyond what's normal. And we've been looking at a number of things through the book of 1 Corinthians, and this morning we'll continue discovering how the Apostle Paul appealed to this early Christian church and called out to them to move out of the gray and into the full color of being outstanding followers of Christ. Hear now the word of our God, beginning in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Now, about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. But there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. May God add his rich blessing to the reading of his word. Let's pray together. Our Lord Jesus, we have heard these words from your apostle about Holy Spirit. And we pause for a moment to confess that this is not a topic that's easy for us. It's not one with which we're familiar. It doesn't roll off our lips like so many other things about Christian faith. But we know this to be your word. And so we call out to you to take our numb, hardened hearts and teach us and shape us today through this word about your Spirit. May your Spirit come now. May Holy Spirit come to this place dramatically, and may he fill every heart here so that we may hear you speak and so that our lives may be changed to further your purposes and your kingdom on this earth. Amen. Have you ever noticed that sometimes you go to a party, you go to a gathering of some sort, and someone walks in the room and all of a sudden everyone starts paying attention to that one person? I mean, no matter where he or she goes, they just always seem to be the center of attention. And, you know, we speak of people like that as being charismatic. They have charisma. There's just something about them that makes them stand out in the crowd. It's an amazing thing, and I think most of us who don't have that gift envy it a lot. I mean, how come I can't be the center of attention? And we would prefer just sort of sitting back in the corner and letting things go on and just nobody pay attention to me, everything will be just fine. But I've discovered many times that when you're dealing with people who have this kind of charisma, that once they get out of a crowd or once they get out of a party and you get them alone, they collapse. They sort of sink down, they become sullen, and they become just the opposite of what they were in the group. And if you've had that experience, then you know what I mean when I say, I just wonder what it means to have charisma. If it turns on when you're in a group, and then when you're out of the group, it collapses on you. We just read a passage that talks about charisma. In verse 12, it's the word gifts. But it's a very special kind of charisma or charismatic personality we're talking about here. We're talking about gifts of Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God Himself, coming upon people and bestowing on them gifts. And as we think of ourselves as the people of God, as we think of ourselves as followers of Jesus, and as we seek to become outstanding followers of Jesus, an outstanding church, we have to give our attention to this charisma that God expects us to have as followers of Christ. An attractiveness, a beauty, a wonder that will actually be inspiring to other people around us, but a charisma that will not collapse when the other people go away. In this passage, the Apostle Paul calls on the Corinthians to begin to pay attention to Holy Spirit. He tells them that they must not be uninformed about Him. And then he goes on to say that they need to be attracted to the things of Holy Spirit. And then finally, he tells them they have to be people who are ready to live in the Holy Spirit. So let's take a look and see how he unfolds this subject, because it's ever so important for all of us here, whether you're a follower of Christ or whether you are a follower for many years, it's important for all of us to grasp what true charisma actually is. Do you remember in verse 12, beginning in verse 1, rather, chapter 12, that the Apostle Paul says this to the Corinthians? Now, about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be uninformed about this. And we can understand why. It's because in the faith of the New Testament, the role of the Holy Spirit is extremely important. Now, the Corinthians had the work of Holy Spirit among them. It was amazing in some respects what happened, because they actually had miraculous things going on in their church. They had everything you can imagine, from the very dull all the way over to the most exciting thing you can imagine for the work of Holy Spirit among them. And yet they showed a kind of ignorance. They were uninformed as to how to approach Holy Spirit, how to see Him at work in their lives in the ways that He wanted them to be working and leading and following in His grace. The Apostle Paul says, I want you to know what Holy Spirit is and what He does. And the remarkable thing, of course, is that the Bible tells us a lot about Him. From the very beginning, the opening verses of the Bible, we're told that Holy Spirit is active and powerful in this world. Do you remember when God first made the world? It was chaotic, it was dark and formless, and yet the Spirit of God hovered over the deep, because the Spirit of God, the great powerful wind of God, was the power by which God intended to shape the creation, to change the creation, to make the whole of the earth a beautiful and holy and wondrous place. So holy, so wondrous, that one day God the Father would actually come here and dwell in all of His glory. This was the main role of Holy Spirit throughout the entire Bible. It was to prepare the creation for the coming of the great King, the great Father of all, to dwell here in His glory forever. And that's why you find throughout the Old Testament that Holy Spirit would come upon especially Israelites in the Old Testament. He would empower them, give them the ability to do great things in moving His kingdom forward, in bringing justice and righteousness and hope to the entire world. But as you know, the Old Testament does not end on a very positive note. Israel turned away from God to such an extent that they were actually exiled and separated from the promised land and separated from the power of God in this world. But the prophets of the Old Testament predicted that a day would come, a day in the future, when the great King, the great Son of David would come, the great Messiah would come, and along with Him, a fantastic outpouring of Holy Spirit over the entire earth. The power of God, designed to bring about the renewal of the entire creation, to be poured out on the entire earth. And that's what the New Testament describes as what happens when God pours His Holy Spirit out on the church. Because now, rather than just being in one place, in one time, a very small, insignificant people, the people of God are actually scattered throughout the entire world. And everywhere the people of God are, the Holy Spirit has been poured out. And He comes to give us power. He comes to give us strength. He comes to stand alongside of us as we continue to engage this sinful, fallen world and seek to turn this earth into the kingdom of God. And so Holy Spirit works in the lives and in the hearts of people, bearing His fruit within them, the fruit of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and faithfulness and self-control. These kinds of things that begin to happen inside of us are not just for us. They are empowerments to us so that we can go forth and do what God wants us to do in this world. I think most of us can remember that one of the last words that Jesus ever said to His disciples before He ascended into heaven was that great commission, where He said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Now you go out and make disciples of all the nations." In other words, turn the earth into my kingdom. But do you remember that Jesus warned His disciples? He said, "Don't you dare try to do that until the Holy Spirit has come upon you." Why would that be the case? Why would Jesus say, "Go up to this room, sit there, pray, and wait until Holy Spirit comes on you, and then you can go out. Then you can begin to do my work in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth." Why would He say that? It's because without the work of Holy Spirit in your life and in my life, we cannot succeed in spreading the kingdom of God throughout the world. It's really that simple. All your efforts, all your good intentions, all your attempts to do the right thing, all your efforts to be faithful to Jesus are for naught unless they are empowered by the personal ministry of Holy Spirit poured out on you. And yet, today I speak in a church that represents a branch of the body of Christ that a friend of mine said could probably be called Binitarian rather than Trinitarian. And by that he meant that we effectively live with just two persons of the Trinity. Oh yes, we love the Father because He's the one who's ordained all things and He is the one who is ultimately our Savior and our King. And yes, we love King Jesus because He has come to this planet and He's redeemed us by His death and by His resurrection. He's redeemed us and given us everlasting life. But on the day-to-day basis, we ignore the third person of Holy Spirit far too much. And you will never be a person of outstanding faith, and this church will never be a church of outstanding faith, so long as we ignore the third person of the Trinity, the power of Holy Spirit in us. Don't worry. We're not going to start speaking in tongues this morning. Don't worry. No one's going to start running up and down the aisles in here. But we are going to call for a renewed attention to Holy Spirit. The apostle says, "I don't want you ignorant. I want you knowledgeable about Him." Have you ever had a new appliance, a new electrical appliance, you know, and you're getting ready to use it, and you turn it on and it doesn't work? I mean, that happened to me just recently. It was a hairdryer. Okay, so I turn it on, it doesn't work. I say, "Where did we buy this thing? You know, have you got the receipt? Because I'm taking it back. It's broken." And I'm shaking it like this and saying all kinds of bad things. But I'm shaking it saying, "Oh, doggone it, what am I going to do? My hair's all wet, you know, it's ruined my day." Just to find out that I hadn't plugged it in yet. You ever done that kind of thing? Don't you feel that way about your life sometimes? What's wrong with this thing called my life? I mean, you know, I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Jesus. It's just not working out. I have no joy. I have no wonder in my life. I have no energy for anything. My life is falling to pieces. I can't bear up under the burdens anymore. What's wrong with this thing? Let's get a receipt and take it back, okay? Get a new one. And the problem is, you're not plugged into the power. Because the power is not in your sins being forgiven by the atoning work of Christ. And your power for living the Christian life is not in what the Holy Father in heaven has done for you for all eternity. The power of your life is in the personal ministry of Holy Spirit to you. And if you do not plug into that, then it's no wonder that your Christian life is mediocre. The Apostle Paul says, I want you to be knowledgeable and be informed about the gifts of Holy Spirit. But he goes on, and he says, I also want you to learn a new attraction. I want you to have an attraction. I want you to prize the work of the true Spirit of divinity. Listen to the way he puts that, beginning in verse 2. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. Here the Apostle Paul points out and reminds the Corinthians that before they became Christians, they had been deceived, many of them, into following various religious cults there in Greece, following mute idols, idols that could do nothing for them, but they were devoted to them. And we know why, because in most places where there were temples in the ancient world of Greece, there were ways in which they operated magical tricks. In fact, a lot of temples are built over top of places where natural gas will come up through the earth. And so the priests of the temple learned how to manipulate that gas. They learned how to set things ablaze all of a sudden and magically because of the gas pouring out from beneath the earth. They learned how to do things like take apostates and the like down into caves and let them suffocate on the toxic fumes while they themselves survived by holding their breath. They did all kinds of things like that. And they were deceived. But you can imagine how these deceptions were very attractive to people in those days. Ah, this must be true religion. Look, the priest can create fire. Look, people go into the cave and die, but not the priest. Paul said, I don't know how it happened to you, but you were deceived because you prized those kinds of things to the point that you began to follow mute idols. Others in Corinth, in the church of Corinth, had followed mute idols because they thought they were so sophisticated that they had figured out religion. And they had figured out exactly philosophically how to handle things and which God to call on at the right time and how to keep all these things managed. And by whatever means they did it, the apostle says, you know, I know your propensity there at Corinth. Your propensity is to go with the best show. Your propensity is to seek the spirit of the universe, to seek the spirit of divinity, the power of the gods in places other than the Holy Spirit. And so he says to them, look, no one by the true Spirit of God can ever say, Jesus be cursed. If some religious teacher or some leader of a religion says, Jesus is nothing, Jesus be cursed, and he means that sincerely, then the Apostle Paul says, he can't say that by the true Holy Spirit. He says it by evil spirits, by demons and evil powers. But then he turns it around and he says, but no one can sincerely, from the depths of their hearts, say that Jesus is the Lord except by the power of the one Holy Spirit of God. So where is Holy Spirit at work in this world? The apostle says, in the church, among true believers, the ones who know, understand, and follow after the Holy Spirit of God. Now, the Corinthians had their propensities to follow other kinds of magic and other kinds of ideals and other kinds of ways of finding power and success and significance in their lives by tapping into divinity in other ways other than Holy Spirit. But I'm glad to say we don't have that problem here. Yes, we do. You know as well as I do we do. I mean, is there a television show that's more appropriately named than American Idol? You know, it's one of the most popular shows on planet Earth, and almost every country in the civilized world has their own version of it. I don't know if you know that or not. You can go to Russia and see Russian Idol. You can go to Japan and see Japanese Idol. You can find them everywhere. Why is that so appealing to us? Well, it's because in our day, we substitute true charisma, true giftedness, true engagement with the power of the God who created the universe. We substitute celebrity for that. And somehow we envy people who gain that kind of celebrity. So we watch them on television and we hope, oh, maybe this ordinary person will grow up and really move forward. He's from my region. That will give me some vicarious experience of importance too. That'll be great. Let's make it happen. Call in your votes. Get them up there. Oh, they made it through that round too. Isn't it wonderful? I'm so excited. Now everybody come and watch. Because what we're doing is creating, of course, a celebrity. Now, when you think about celebrities, it looks on the surface as if their lives are really great. I mean, who would not want to fly around in those jet planes and go to all those clubs and all those parties and get all the notoriety and all the money they get? But you know as well as I do, as you stand in the grocery line and notice those magazines there, their lives are ruinous. Scratch the surface of a celebrity's life, and what do you have? Destruction. And so here we are watching things like American Idol, hoping that someone else will become a celebrity so their lives can be ruined too. And maybe you're not into American celebrity, American Idol. Maybe that's not your thing. But you know as well as I do that we have other things that we substitute in to our lives for Holy Spirit. It would be things like success in business. That's what I want to be. I want to be the best in my business. And if I can get that, well then, now I have real meaning. Now I have real purpose. Now I have real power in my life. We have all kinds of things that we want to substitute in. We want to look anywhere for the spirit of the divine that will fix our lives and empower our lives anywhere except in Holy Spirit Himself. Even as followers of Christ. You know how you can tell whether that's true? Is to ask yourself, who are the heroes of your life? Who are the people out there whom you emulate and that you encourage your children to emulate? For most of us, it's athletes. For others of us, it's successful business people. For a few of us, it might be artists of some sort, musical or otherwise. But I would understand how that can happen easily because I too have those propensities. But at the same time, do you hear what the Apostle Paul is saying? The heroes of our lives, the dreams of our lives, the examples for our lives are not to come from celebrity or success in worldly terms. They're to be people who have done things by the power of the true Holy Spirit. So when you teach your children about how to live their lives, let me ask you this. Do you ever tell them about Christian heroes? Do you ever tell them about the great missionaries who have given their lives for the sake of the gospel? Do you ever tell them about the ones who outwardly look as if they failed utterly, but were faithful to Jesus by the power of Holy Spirit? Do you ever tell them about the times when you have seen, even in your own life, the power of the Spirit at work in someone's life in remarkable ways? Are these your heroes? Are these your children's heroes? If they are not, then we are not prizing the work of Holy Spirit. We are prizing the things of the world. the very people who will say, "Jesus be cursed," under their breath, are our heroes. When our thoughts should be on those who have Jesus as Lord. So the apostle looks at the Corinthians and he says to them, look, I don't want you to be ignorant. The Holy Spirit is the power of God in this creation, and the creation is moving toward the kingdom of God coming here as it is in heaven. But it's only going to happen by the power of Holy Spirit. And so begin to prize what Holy Spirit does in this world. No longer looking to other successes, no longer looking to other dreams, but looking to His charisma. And then he tells them, begin to live in the charisma of Holy Spirit. Listen to what he says. There are different kinds of gifts, verse 4, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Do you hear what the apostle says here? He says, look, having the power of Holy Spirit is something that's very individual. It's something that is distinctive to every single person. But it is something that every single follower of Jesus has as a potential in his or her life. Gifting, charisma, power of Holy Spirit living in you. I meet so many Christians who think of their lives and they are forlorn and depressed and sullen. They are powerless. They are hopeless. They are lacking joy. They have nothing that they could point to and say, I know that God is doing a mighty thing in me and through me this way. Do you know why that happens? It happens because we do not live in the power of Holy Spirit. There's no one right way to do this, but every one of us must learn the right way as God has given us the gifting of Holy Spirit in our lives. So, do you know how Holy Spirit is working in your life? Or are you satisfied with keeping God very impersonal? Keeping him up there as the great Father, keeping him up there as Jesus, the Messiah, who sits at the right hand of God the Father and then just leaves me alone. Are you satisfied with that kind of faith? There is a problem here with Holy Spirit. He is like the wind, Jesus says. He comes and he goes as he wishes. And you can never predict exactly what he's going to do next. And you know what that does with your personal life? It messes things up. It changes things on you. And God suddenly becomes very personal, very intimately involved in your life, so that you dare not take a step ahead, you dare not take one step forward without being confident that Holy Spirit is with you. But when you tie into Holy Spirit and keep in step with Holy Spirit, then you begin to see the manifestations of His power in your own life. And notice here that it is not that a few people in a church like this would have the gifting of Holy Spirit. You know, we do exactly what the Corinthians do. We tend to think, oh yeah, of course, there are certain people in our church that really have the gifts. I mean, they really have charisma. I mean, the music people in the choir, the preacher, the staff. Oh, yeah, they've really got the Holy Spirit. They're doing great things. But as for me, nah, not really. I'm just kind of mediocre. Just kind of come to church on Sunday, hang out, get out as fast as I can. But the Apostle Paul says, it is not so. If you are one who follows Christ, you have the charisma of Holy Spirit yourself. And the only reason you do not see the manifestations of the Holy Spirit's power in your life is because you are quenching him out. So here we are, knowing that some people have charisma. They walk into the room and everyone notices. But so very often, when they are alone in private, they collapse. What we want, what this church needs, is a renewal of energy, a renewal of power, a renewal of zeal that gets right down into the hearts of every individual in this place. It is no longer something for the choir to do or for the leaders to do. It is something for all of us to pursue. And we will be the most charismatic, the most charisma-filled people if we will seek the power of Holy Spirit in our lives. May God grant that as we begin to look at what the Apostle Paul says about the work of the Spirit, that we will stop ignoring him and begin to plug in to the power of God that's available to you. Let's pray together. Our Lord Jesus, we bless you that when you left us here on this planet, you did not leave us as orphans, but that you promised to send the power of Holy Spirit to us. We confess to you that we often ignore this, quench this, run from it as hard as we possibly can. But now we come and say, no wonder we feel so powerless and hopeless. Come upon us. Send the Spirit to us. Fill our hearts that we may worship you, that we may serve you, that we may bring by his power your kingdom to this earth. Amen.